I know you're out there. I know that you're afraid. You're afraid of us. You're afraid of change. I don't know the future. I didn't come here to tell you how this is going to end. I came here to tell you how it's going to begin. I'm going to hang up this phone, and then I'm going to show these people what you don't want them to see. A world without rules and controls, without borders or boundaries. A world where anything is possible. Where we go from there is a choice I leave to you.
The Chris Ann Hall Show.
Any varmint that crosses that lady's path has met its match. Come on!
Rise and shine, liberty-loving patriots. Defend your liberty now, or be a slave tomorrow. I mean, that's basically where we are today. I mean, it's moving just that quickly. And today I'm going to tell you about we're going to talk about due process today. I'm going to tell you about the federal government's denial of due process. I'm going to tell you about two specific cases that I am personally speaking to the people involved with, and that involve just the most blatant and egregious violations of due process by the federal government that we have yet to see today. And the question remains is, how long will we tolerate this? I mean, that's always the question. How long will we consent to this operation? You see, the government only does what we consent to. Now, you can simply say, well, I don't consent, but yes, you do. Every time you send the government a check, every time you send them money through your paycheck, you consent. Well, Chris Ann, how do I stop sending them through my paycheck? Well, it's very easy, actually. And I think that if we had a concerted effort, a joined effort to simply, I'm not telling you at this point in time to not pay your taxes on April 15th. But I think a way that we could move as a people to show our disgust for the federal government and what they're doing is for every single conservative who is sick and tired of the federal government doing things it's not supposed to, agencies that should not exist, the BLM, the IRS, the FDA, the EPA, the Department of Education, you're sick and tired of those things? You know what we need to do as a movement of people? And we could start off small. You know, it's the grassroots that start the brush fires. Go to your employer and change your W-2 and claim 10 dependents. At that point in time, there will be no taxes taken out of your paycheck every month, every week, every payday. And then when you file your taxes, if you want to pay your taxes, you simply pay what you owe based on their calculations. You don't need to use the federal government as a savings bank so that you get a refund. They're making interest off your money and spending it to destroy your liberty. Why not keep your money in your pocket and then pay them when you feel it's time to pay them? The amount that you feel is time to pay them on April 15th. And if we as a movement of people all went to our employers and filed 10 dependents, that's the maximum allowed, no money would come out of your paycheck every week. And you know what would happen? Two things would happen. If we could get a large enough movement, the government would freak out. Okay? They would freak out. It wouldn't take 50%. I don't even think it would take 30%. I think if we could get a movement that started with 6 or 7%, I mean, just the Tea Party people. You're not doing anything illegal. Let me just mention to you, you are doing nothing illegal by claiming 10 dependents. Nothing at all. You are simply ensuring that your money stays in your pocket as long as possible. And then you just pay it on April 15th. Figure out what you think you're supposed to be paying. Sock it away in the bank. You earn the interest on that money, not the federal government. And you pay them on April 15th. And if we could get, because you're not doing anything illegal. This is not even civil disobedience. As a matter of fact, this is just fiscal responsibility. So I'm not telling you to do anything illegal. I'm simply saying everybody go to their employer, claim 10 dependents, you keep all your money. Two things will happen. The government will freak out. If we can get enough people to do this, the government will freak out. The other thing that will happen, you will become acutely aware of the amount of money the government is stealing from you. See, I firmly believe that if every person had to sit down and write a check every paycheck to the federal government, we would not have income tax, federal income tax anymore. I mean, you get outraged at the price of gas, right? And the price of gas goes up and down based upon our outrage. You get outraged at the price of groceries, and that stuff goes up and down too. Well, you know what? We're not outraged by the seizing of our taxes because it's out of sight, out of mind. You never see it, so it's never gone. That was the brilliant move by the federal government to make it easy and convenient for you. We'll make it so you don't have to pay your taxes every paycheck. As a matter of fact, the only time that the IRS requires you or even wants you to pay your taxes is by April 15th. And as long as you do that, the IRS is happy. They're not legal, but they're still happy. And guess what? You get to keep your money. But you will see how much they're actually stealing from you. You will understand what it's like to live based on your wages and not on government allowance. See, that's what income tax really is, government allowance. We will allow you to keep this much of your money. Think about it that way, because that's what it really is. We will allow you to keep this much of your money. Because you see, the way they rule and reign through the IRS, they could just simply raise the taxes and say, no, we're only going to allow you to keep this much now. Do you see what subjects we are? Subjects we are to the federal government, dependent upon them for our federal allowance. You see, the federal government shows no distinction between the money that they give you in a check and the money they allow you to keep. That's why things like vouchers never work. That's why things like tax returns never work. Notice how it's a tax return. They're returning money to you, right? Because they've kept it to begin with. They're allowing you to have it. It ought not be that way. Our framers are rolling over in their graves, if that's even possible, as a matter of speaking, right now. Rolling over in our graves, their graves, knowing what we have done to the liberty that they fought so hard to secure. My friend Jason Hoyt asked this question today. He said, "What is John Adams saying today to 241 years ago. What is John Adams saying 241 years ago? He's saying, posterity. You will never know what it cost this present generation to secure the liberty that you enjoy. I hope you will make good use of it, for if you do not, I will repent in heaven that I ever took half the pains to secure it." That's what John Adams is saying. I just want you to realize what is going on here. We are destroying the liberty that people have sacrificed for us because we're too scared to stand up for what is ours. They will come for you. They will come for you one day. And you will either give in and give them what they want, or you'll have enough and stand. And we are going to talk about due process today because I have two cases that I am personally working with that are just the most egregious cases, one from New Mexico and the other from Nevada. Now, you are familiar with the Nevada case. This is Bundy Ranch. Now, you thought that we got some kind of victory in Bundy Ranch. I told you when the feds walked away from that scene that it was not over. There is no way the federal government and Eric Holder is going to walk away being humiliated like that by the peasants of this country. There is no way he's going to do that, and that's exactly right. That I told you it wasn't going to happen that way, and that's exactly what is happening. I hate being right about these things. But see, the Bundy Ranch now, the family has a blog page where they're keeping you aware of what's going on. And here's what the federal government is doing. I'm telling you, they did not just walk away. They have filed a Federal Register, Volume 79, Number 197 notice. It outlines plans to make the Bundy Ranch and most of southern Nevada acres of critical environmental concern. 90 days from October 10th, 2014. That means in January, the middle of January 2015, the federal government intends to turn nearly 3 million acres of southern Nevada into areas of critical environmental concern. That means that this land will be locked away from the people. No use of the land whatsoever, recreational, agricultural, or otherwise. Here are a few things that come with an area of critical environmental concern. Closed roads, excluded trails, closed camping, closed to recreational vehicle, closed to motorized travel, closed to livestock grazing, restricted human hiking, restricted horseback riding, excluded group recreation, closed to mineral development, closed to water access, closed to hunting and target shooting. Southern Nevada will soon have less access to their land than any other people in the history of this country. All because the people stood in the name of property ownership against the federal government. This is a kingdom, America. When the federal government can retaliate against the people standing up for what is rightly theirs and simply say, impotence, we will just simply shut down your land. Without any due process whatsoever, without any authority, without any constitutionally recognized power whatsoever. This is a kingdom. And the question is, what are you going to do about it? You better get educated. Because Nevada is not the last place. Nevada is the beginning. This is the test case to see what we are going to do.
Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
So the people of Nevada, the legislators of Nevada, ought to be just going stinking nuts right now. January of 2014, the federal government has announced through notice, not through congressional act, not through due process, but a simple federal notice that we are going to classify this land as an area of critical environmental concern, and we will shut down your access to nearly 3 million acres. Stand up to us again, people. We'll show you who you are, subjects of the federal government. How dare you defy us? Yeah, how dare you? So you scared now? Are you afraid to stand for your property rights? Because that's what they want to happen. They want you to be afraid. They are playing on your fear. They are tyrants. That's what tyrants do. Tyrants invoke fear to control people. And that's who your government is now. That's who they are. Tyrants. trying to make you afraid. Oh, we better not stand up. We better not do anything about this now, because if we do, then our land is next. Oh my goodness, what if our state starts nullifying unconstitutional federal law and the government comes and seizes our land? What are we going to do? You know what needs to be done in Nevada? They need to call out their National Guard. They need to call together a state militia. Every sheriff in affected counties must go around and deputize every person qualified. And they just need to stand up and say, no, you will not. You absolutely will not. How many sheriffs that are charged with the security of these 3 million acres of land will stand up and say, oh, hell no. Uh-uh. Not on my watch. You need to understand the federal government does not have power to do this constitutionally. They do not have the power to do this. And I don't care what their argument may be about agreements on the ratification of the state into the union. It's all garbage. It's all illegal because they don't have the constitutional authority to make those agreements. The federal government never owned land. It never will own land outside 10 square miles called Washington, D.C. That is the only land the federal government is constitutionally authorized to loan. They can lease land from the states for the purposes of military forts. But beyond that, they can't do this. They can't negotiate with property they don't own. This is just absolutely outrageous. We should, you know what? Oh, Ferguson. This is what comes to mind. Ferguson, right? People protesting in New York over a man being strangled to death. Life being extinguished by tyrannical government. I am not sanctioning the violence, but the protests that are peaceful are more than warranted in this case. But Samuel Adams said this, among the natural rights of the colonists are these. First, life. That's what we're talking about here, life. Second, liberty. You can't have liberty if you don't have life. Third, property. Do you catch that? Life, liberty, property, natural rights. And then he concludes by saying, together, number four, with the right to protect and defend them in the best means possible. America, you have lost sight of what a natural right is and what a government privilege is. We are so subjects right now because we believe that the government can dictate property ownership. The government can dictate a privilege to own property. No, it's not a privilege. It is a natural right. And that's why we have the 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th Amendments. To remind us of those facts. That the government cannot seize our property without due process. They cannot take our lives without due process. They cannot take our liberty without due process. But we don't understand what all this means. And we're willing to just let it go. Because it's not my land. I got nothing to hide. Oh my goodness, America. These are your kids that are suffering. Some people wouldn't like that I was different. It never really mattered how hard it would be, cause she filled me with love and the strength to leave. She said, let it burn, let it burn. I'm gonna burn something down if you get in our way.
The Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
So, state of Nevada, how does it make you feel to know that the federal government thinks you're nothing but a subject under their power, and they're going to come and take almost 3 million acres of your land? How are my people in Nevada who are listening to my podcasts? How are you going to react to knowing that you will have less access to your land than any other people in the history of this country? Less access. How do you feel about that? I mean, seriously, even the Native Americans who are egregiously oppressed in this country in violation of the treaties the federal government has made with them can build casinos on their land, can drive on their land, can build homes on their land. Hey, Nevada, you're not going to be allowed to do that. Legislators should be up in arms right now. Legislators should be drafting propositions and resolutions now to simply say no. They should be drawing together the National Guard. Every sheriff should be drawing together deputies, deputizing everybody who's qualified to stand on the border of this almost 3 million acres and say no. Oh no, not on my watch. And what about the states? Those of you who are listening in the states that are adjacent to Nevada, you think this is going to stop with Nevada? Oh no. Texas? You think this is not going to creep in your land? How about New Mexico? How about my people in Northern California who are fighting for the state of Jefferson? What are you going to do when they come for you? Because they will come. They're going to issue federal registries all over the rest of this country, declaring people land areas of critical environmental concern so you can't have access. And they will shut down your access to this land, declaring that it's theirs, and then give it over to who? The United Nations. This is just the next step into complete UN control of our land. That's not tinfoil hat, people. That's already happened. It's called the World Heritage Treaty, and we signed that already. The World Heritage Treaty means that the UN can govern and reign and rule over any land that is considered of economic, of cultural and environmental concern. So we declare something of environmental concern or cultural concern, and we open up the door for the World Heritage Treaty to take effect, which means the UNESCO comes in and says, hey, well, you've claimed this to be of environmental, critical environmental concern. Well, that falls under the guidelines of the World Heritage Treaty, so that needs to be recognized as a World Heritage Site. And as soon as it's recognized as a World Heritage Site, then guess what? They're coming after your land. They're coming after you. The United Nations, according to the World Heritage Treaty, is going to have the authority, although illegal, you know, an illegal authority, but a presumed authority, an assumed authority, to manage and rule and reign over American soil. I have had legislators tell me, oh, Chrisanne, stop all this fear-mongering about the World Heritage Treaty. It was just a token treaty. It was just a symbol of our cooperation with the world to conserve areas of cultural or environmental concern. Really? A token. So why was it ratified by the United Nations? Why would you go through the trouble of negotiating, debating, and ratifying a treaty and signing a treaty that had to be ratified by the Senate and signed by the President? Why did you do that for just a token? Why didn't we just simply make a promise? And when was the last time the United Nations ever thought anything that they did was just a matter of, you know, show? We're just doing this for show. Are you stinking kidding me? You have foreign government with the authority to rule and reign over your property, and we are not going ballistic over this. I just don't get this. I just don't get this. They're coming after your land. And if you don't stand up for Nevada, you're next. You're next. What are you going to do? Oh, well, it wasn't my land. Okay, well, they're coming. Believe me, they're coming. And we got to stand together or take care of this or not. Now, you're going to need to listen to the show over the next rest of this month, because we're going to be announcing several meetings that are going to happen in Nevada. County commission meetings. We're going to go on a local level and demand that the county commissioners refuse to allow this to happen. Demand that they refuse to allow this to happen. We need to get people involved. We need to show up there in a peaceful manner, like we were more than willing to show up with guns. Show your courage and show up in a peaceful petition and convince the sheriff and the county commissioners and the city councilmen and the state legislators that if they don't honor their oath and do something, their job security is done. They will no longer have any respect in their community, and they will be outcast. We need to make them ashamed of doing nothing at all. We need to make them ashamed. Ashamed. Well, here's the second story. The second story has to do, and I can't give you a lot of details on this because I'm not at liberty to disclose the details. But I can tell you this is happening in New Mexico. A man is having his property seized by the IRS without any due process whatsoever. I cannot disclose his name. I'm not at liberty to do this. I'm not even working directly with this man. I'm working with the sheriff who is trying to protect his property from unlawful seizure by the IRS. Can you imagine a sheriff who is willing to stand up to the federal government and say, no, you can't take this man's property. There are due process requirements here. So let me brief you on this story. This comes from what I understand, coming from the sheriff. This comes from the IRS trying to claim that a man has not paid his proper taxes from the years 1991 to 1998. And according to the sheriff, the IRS has been filing claims to this man's property based on unpaid taxes from 91 to 98. Do you see how old this case is, right? 91 to 98. The man has fought this in court. And in every single time since the lawsuits have come up from these tax question from 91 through 98, the court has dismissed the cases. Simply get out of the courtroom. They have dismissed these cases year after year after year. Now, I know from a legal process that these judges must be dismissing these cases without prejudice. Now, that's not guaranteed because the IRS is obviously rogue anyway. They would do whatever they want. But I'm guessing that these judges are dismissing these cases without prejudice. And they're able to do this, number one, because the federal government's a big bully with unlimited spending ability. And this man has been fighting the IRS by himself without an attorney for all these years. And so he probably doesn't realize that he should, after this amount of time, be demanding that the judge be dismissing these cases with prejudice, which means the IRS can't bring him back to court. Okay? This is simply it is absolutely such a denial of the Fifth Amendment in this case. Double jeopardy. This whole prejudice or without prejudice. You know, if you lose in court and the judge throws it out, that should always be with prejudice because of the Fifth Amendment and the fact that we have a right to not be subject to double jeopardy. You see, the Fifth Amendment reads, nor shall any person be subject to this for the same offense to be twice put in jeopardy of life or limb. The IRS should not be able to sue him over the same things over and over again. But because he doesn't have an attorney, he probably doesn't realize that. And the judges who are just wanting to get rid of this albatross of a case are simply willing to do whatever the federal government wants because we've been brainwashed in law school to believe that the federal government is supreme. So now, after all these years of trying, all these years of being dismissed, the IRS has found a judge who has been sufficiently brainwashed, who has to be a total egomaniac and is willing to grant the IRS their seizure of his property. So this happens in September, and within the 30-day time limit, this man files an appeal of his case. The appeal to a higher court of this judge stealing his property and the IRS engaging in legal plunder illegally. Now, here's the problem. The man is representing himself. He doesn't realize that when he files his appeal, he should have filed a motion to stay the judgment to seize his property. Now, this is just a formality at this point, because if an attorney were to file a motion to stay the order to seize his property, it would be granted without question because there is an appeal to a higher court. The IRS cannot take his property until his full due process has been exhausted. But he did not know to file for a stay on the seizure. And so now the IRS has come to seize his property, even though he is still within his process of due process, simply because he didn't file a piece of paper. We're doing form over function here. Now, the sheriff knows that there's an appeal in process, and the U.S. Marshal comes to him and with the IRS and says, we're going to seize this guy's property based on this court order. And the sheriff says, no, you're not, because I know there's appeal. Now, the sheriff has a very good point here. He tells me, you know, Chris Ann, if they did not know about the appeal and they wanted to enforce the order, that's one thing. But they looked me dead in the eye and they said, I know there's an appeal pending. We have an order from a judge. You must turn over this property. Knowing there's an appeal, knowing that a stay would be granted if this man had known what to do, they still want to take his property and deny him his due process. The sheriff said, no, I will not let you. As a matter of fact, you might threaten people with jail, but I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to let you, and I ain't going to jail today. The IRS agents, the U.S. Marshals, start freaking out, calling the judge. The judge says, I want this order enforced. What a stinking egomaniac. What a denial of the Constitution. What a denial of due process coming from the very bench that was sworn to protect this man's rights. And the sheriff says, no, not on my watch. You're not doing this. Well, the story doesn't end here, because the IRS is going to hook and crook their way into this situation, seizing this man's property even though they know he has a right to due process.
The Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist. Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
We're talking about due process today. We're talking about your right to your life and your liberty and your property. The Fifth Amendment says, nor be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. Nor shall property be taken for public use without just compensation. Hey, they can't take your 3 million acres in Nevada without just compensation. They can't do it. They cannot do it without due process. They're taking your property. They're taking your liberty. They're taking your life without due process, and they can't do it according to the Fifth Amendment. The Seventh Amendment says, in suits at common law where the value in controversy shall exceed $20, I believe that 3 million acres of land exceeds $20, and I believe that the man's property in New Mexico exceeds $20. The Seventh Amendment says you have the right to a trial by jury and a jury of your peers. And no fact shall be tried by a jury otherwise, no fact tried by a jury shall otherwise be re-examined in any court of the United States other than according to the rules of common law. The Eighth Amendment reads, excessive bail shall not be required, nor excessive fines imposed. I think the seizure of 3 million acres is an excessive fine. I think the fines placed on, I know the fines that were placed on Clive and Bundy were excessive and a violation of his Eighth Amendment, a denial of his Seventh Amendment, and a destruction of his Fifth Amendment. And this man in New Mexico who's having his property seized by the IRS, knowing that he has a right to due process, knowing very well, the judge knowing that the appeal has been filed, says, so what? My authority rules because I am king. This ought not be so in a land of due process. This ought not be so in a republic. So the sheriff looks at the U.S. Marshals and the IRS and says, no way. You are not coming on this man's property. So what does the U.S. Marshals do? The U.S. Marshals wait until they know that the sheriff is having a staff meeting. I'm not kidding you. And then contacts some agents on the sheriff's task force that they work with closely who are not aware of this property dispute and say, hey, we have to, you know, this crazy thing has come up. We've got to serve this property seizure through the IRS on this guy. You know, and we just need your help with that. Well, the deputies being unaware of what's going on, having a relationship with the federal marshals, you know, when they're dealing with murders and kidnappings and these types of things, trusting these guys, says, okay, we'll come help you. They lock up the man's property. They change all the locks in his house. They shut off the water. They shut off the electricity. And they post notice that if he comes back on the property, he is going to be thrown in jail. And the sheriff finds out what's happening. You know what? This is crazy. He goes to the man and he says, look, I am sorry this happened. You do not have to do this. I will stand here right now. I will cut these locks off. I will help you get into your property. You can go back into your home. You can go back here and live. You can do everything you need to do in your home. I will help you get everything reestablished in this house. And then I will stand here myself if they come back to arrest you. That's a constitutional sheriff, America. That's what you're supposed to be doing. And I'm so honored and humbled that he would call me and ask me for reassurance and advice on this issue. This is the good news to the story. The IRS is hooking and crooking to take this man's land without due process, his property without due process, knowing he has the right to it. And you ought to be disgusted by that because your house is next. You are next. You know what the good news in this story is? After I get off the phone with this sheriff, by the time we're done with this conversation, we have booked me to come teach his deputies. I will be teaching his deputies about the Constitution and their constitutional duty in January. And I think that's very exciting. Now, I am sorry that I have not been able to disclose to you the specifics, names, and dates and places in this event, but I will as soon as I have liberty to. Because we need to organize to help this man. And we need to start standing up against the federal plunder of our life and our liberty and our property. We are not meant to be quiet. We are not meant to be silent. We must stand to defend our liberty. Or we will be subject. We came to life.